Shabbat Shalom, Mishpacha. Shabbat Shalom, Yasharel. Our Elohim is Yakad. Our Elohim is Yakad, the Most High, Ahaya Bahashem Yeshah HaMashiach. This is a day that the Most High has made, and I just want to say welcome to the Hebrew Restoration Assembly. I am Elder V. This lesson, broadcast, show, however you want to consider it, is brought to you by the Social Change Action Network here on Babylon Talk Radio, a venue that we are definitely utilizing to the full extent for us to be able to come together, prophesy into the wind, come back to our culture, our Hebrew culture, and understand this Israelite way of life. This is the seventh day. When we say Shabbat, we mean that it is a time of rest, a time to cease, a time to stop. But we know that the Most High, Ahayah, did not get tired after 6 days, because the Most High is not a God. He said not to put other gods before me. He is a standalone. He is one. He's not to be considered that, because he is the Most High. There's none before him or after him. And he's not in a fleshly sense resting on the seventh day. It was just after his work had ended, which was the Shabbat, he stopped. This is our day of worship, our day set aside to give him all the praise. And we understand that we come back to the statutes, the laws, and the commandments on this day. I like the way Yochanan said it. He said it best. If you don't keep the commandments, you are a liar, and the truth is not in you. Psalms 19 lets us know that holiness, as they used to say in the Christian church, that only comes through keeping the laws, the statutes, and the commandments. We're going to get into the lesson just a little bit later. Elder Ardre will be joining us, and today we're going to talk about the dietary laws. We've been dealing with various laws that were handed down through Musa, that were indicative of our culture and who we are and who we were and how we were to conduct our lives so that we could be Kodesh, as the Father is Kodesh, and be set apart. And that is still applicable till this day. So we're definitely going to get into those understandings and those laws as we move forward. And so go ahead, get your tea, get your coffee, whatever it is. But most of all, get your Torah, get your Tanakh, and let's prepare ourselves to get into the lesson, to get into the study. We'll be right back after this brief music break.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
With him bomb, I'm gonna put on
Shalom, Mishpachah, Shabbat Shalom. The book of Mark tells us in 2:27, and he said unto them, the Sabbath, the Shabbat, was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Elohim also of the Sabbath. We know that the Most High did not get tired after 6 days. He ceased, said it was good. And what he said in the book of Isaiah, because we serve an incomparable Yah. He said in Isaiah 40:28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting Ahaya, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. All praises to the Most High. I want to thank you, brothers and sisters, for tuning in today to this Shabbat lesson, and without any further ado, we're going to go ahead and get to the lesson. Welcome, our brother Elder Ardre. Are you there? Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom, man. Hallelujah on what you just said, man. That's you started off in a powerful way, man. And that's enough to just excuse me, y'all. If I was just coming out of church, that would be enough to stir the organ up right there. So
there you go.
I felt that one, you know.
Hey, you still running around the church? We gotta pray.
Oh man, I felt that one, man. I felt what you just said, man.
All praises to the Most High. This is the day that the Most High has made.
Yeah, and
I think a lot of people will understand who the Most High is. Thinks that, you know, he got tired after what he did. The Most High don't get tired. What are you thinking about?
No. Man, we need to draw from him. I mean, because he's all powerful. So we need to draw from him.
Yes.
Yes. That's why the word says he'll renew our strength. You know, so yeah, we can draw not only us, but all living creatures, including his Malakim, can draw strength from him. So here we are on this Shabbat, drawing strength from him.
That's right. He's incomparable. He's incomparable. And, brother, I'm ready to move into this. I'm pretty excited. I don't know about you.
Oh, yeah, man. Well, hey, go right ahead. I'm right here with you.
Well, we were going to cover the dietary laws, but it seems we've been alluding to this, and also, brothers and sisters, know that this is all-inclusive, because all praises to the Most High that we're beginning to understand that health and wholeness is all a part of being an Israelite, and health and wholeness denotes healing and deliverance. Sickness is warfare and wrestling against demonic spirits. And I'm giving all praises to the Most High that he's starting to enlighten our people to the fact that he's given us everything we need in the earth that comes out of the earth to heal our bodies. And there's so many instances in the Torah and Tanakh of the Most High giving Elijah and other prophets mainly I want to get into the one before we get into the lesson that you sent to me, that's in the book of Jubilees, about
right.
How things were handed down. Do you have that with you, or should I grab that real quick that you sent to me and read that?
I don't have it, but I can get it.
I have it right here in front of me. You in the book of Jubilees, the 10th chapter, 10 through 14, Noah is given the heavenly book of herbs to ward off Satan's attacks with diseases. He also teaches Shem. So he passes this information on to Shem. And in the book of Jubilees 12:27, it is passed on to Abraham. And then in 45 and 16, Israel passed it on to his son, Levi, the priestly tribe. So you see, we as a culture always used to hand down what we used to call these, I was trying to think of it the other day, we call them old remedies, some type of old remedies, but we didn't realize that it goes back as far as this, that the Most High gave us insight as of what to take to heal us from Satan's attacks and diseases. And this goes all the way back to Noah. And when you go all the way back to Noah, you have to remember that before the flood, the Most High denoted what was, he delineated the clean from the unclean. He pointed out Noah before we were even eating meat, because they weren't even allowed to eat meat until after the flood. But even before they were eating meat, he stipulated which animals were clean and which were unclean. And the unclean animals had to go into the ark two by two. But if you read the Torah, the scriptures, it lets you know that the clean animals went by seven. Which was a perfect.
So that's why he was able to sacrifice when he got off the ark.
Right, definitely. But see, this is why they don't want us seeing things like the book of Jubilees, how the Levites actually became not only just the priests, but the healers that had the knowledge that was handed down. Or you sick, take this herb, and immediately you can be cleansed and you can be healed. So also this whole thing about eating the right foods, the dietary laws and the herbs, this is so critical right now. And people want to say we don't have to go back to the laws. We need to understand that they were given to us for a purpose. And we're going to get into that today. I don't know if you want to kick off some of the scriptures, but, you know.
Well, can I just say one thing regarding the Levites?
Yeah, go ahead.
And we don't have to turn to it. I just, you know, make mention of it, that in the book of Yasher, because of the Levites had this knowledge. See, they were already doing priestly work before they were anointed to do priestly work. And you know, you and I know that on many occasions, or the Most High would already put you on the road of what your ministry is going to be even before your ministry is going to, you know, be confirmed. You would already be doing some of that. And in the book of Yasher, the Levites were so powerful in this, and doing priestly work, that they were the only ones that were not allowed to do any type of, they wasn't, even though they were in slavery, they wasn't doing any slave work, because the Egyptians feared them, because, as well as the Egyptian priests, because they knew more than the Egyptian priests. And it's shown with Moses and Aaron. You know, so I just wanted to just drop that in.
Definitely.
That you know, Satan, he's afraid. You know, when you stand up to his, you know, to his evil devices, stand, as the scripture says, stand, then he backs off. Resist the devil and he'll flee. You know, and so that's what happened in Egypt, according to Yasher.
So if we kill off this notion of thinking that the devil's just some big boogeyman, but that the devil operates through sickness as well, and through parasites and through vaccinations, things that come to attack your body, he can manifest in this capacity. And so the Most High gives us wisdom and knowledge on how to ward these evil spirits off through the herbs, which are alive, that have living cultures that go inside and do warfare in your body against negative enzymes and negative E. coli, negative bacteria. There's a war that's not just in the spirit, but that's going on inside your body against the foods that you're eating, that the Most High warned us about and knew that man would begin to taint in the latter days. Most High knew that they were going to have GMOs, genetically modified foods and genetically engineered foods. He knew every stop that Satan was going to pull out. He knew this, which is why he's bringing us back into the knowledge to be able to fight off and ward off sickness and disease that Edomites and man and society and this world is trying to put on us so they can achieve their goal of decreasing population and moving into their new world order. But the remnant that has their ears open, their eyes open, that can hear, your spirit, the Ruach, is going to begin to tell you what to eat, what not to eat, and what to put in your body. Listen to it as it talks. And that's why we're going to cover this. You can no longer be ignorant saying this bacon sandwich ain't going to hurt me. You need to know that that pig is unclean, and we're going to talk about it. It's in the scripture. It's been unclean since the beginning of time because it was designed to be a garbage disposer for the earth. And you want to eat it, talking about it sure tastes good. It's sure killing. It's sure killing you. That's what it's doing. So, brother, you know, if you want to go ahead, go move forward with the scriptures, I got you.
Well, I just wanted to add, and we're starting, that also, and we don't have to turn it, I'm just adding what you said, that also in the book of Jubilees, chapter 6, Satan has a book of lies. And in that book of lies, it says that his goal is to teach the Hebrews, not mankind, the Hebrews. His goal is to aim his target at the Hebrews and have them eat unclean foods, have them get sick and put curses on them. So the aim is at us.
Right.
Because as you know, what we do, oftentimes the world follow. But in this case, his plan worked because of the fact that we didn't obey the commands. We wanted to do what the other nations did, and we started eating what they ate and so on. And so his book of lies that he set out to aim at us to bring us unto death is happening right now. And so that's why you find a lot of Hebrews with high blood pressure and sick and diabetes and cancer and so on. And we don't help the situation because we smoke cigarettes and we abuse our own body. And so this was his goal. Way back in the beginning, is to destroy man. But the master said, Yahushua said in John 10:10, that the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But he says, I am, that's the Ahaya, come that they might have life. When you say they, he's talking about us, and that we might have it more abundantly. Right, and so right after that, he says, I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd laid down his life for his sheep to bring us back to him.
Listen, brother, we already into the lesson, so let's just keep flowing. I like that. That was good, and I'm glad you brought that up out of that book of lies, Satan's book of lies, because he's becoming more successful because he's able to hide it better in this time, and we are ignorant, and our people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because we choose to read and research, and we ignore the truth. And it's interesting you would say that because now you have pork byproducts being infused into fish and being hid under different words, such as monodiglycerides and inside your food coloring. And they have binders that bind chemicals together in meats, and those binders are made out of pork because, see, he is very incessant about getting us to be under the curses by eating the unclean foods that the Most High told us not to eat. And most of us will say, I don't want to know about it. That way, if I don't know, I'm not responsible. And that's what we're trying to do. Most of these artificial man-made vitamins, most of your sausages are wrapped in pork casing. Some of your deodorants and lotions actually come from just different unclean foods and things that are a defilement to us. He knows this. So he has corporations do as many things as they can do to get us to defile our bodies and defy the law. And from there, you know, I want to move into something because we know that Shaul's writings are not for the unlearned and cause the most confusion, and we sick and tired, and I'm not going to call you what I call you, a straight no chaser, but we're sick and tired of the family trying to use Paul's letters as an excuse to go have a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich. I want to read out of Acts 24:14. And it's
okay, I'm turning to it. Go ahead. I'm just headed there.
This is Paul. This is Shaul talking. Let's get this clear. Listen to what he's saying.
24:14. Okay, I'm there.
But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the Most High, Ahiah, of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets.
So that's the Tanakh. That's the Tanakh as a whole.
Meaning the Tanakh and the Torah. He believed it and he followed it. Everything that was written. You can't say that he was not following the teachings, the law of the proper way to eat. 1 Corinthians, I want to get that one too. 1 Corinthians 3. And this, before we move into this other part of the lesson, 1 Corinthians 3 and 16 says, know ye not that ye are the temple of Ahiah, and that the Ruach of Ahiah dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of Ahiah, him shall Ahiah destroy. But the temple of Ahiah is kabod, which temple ye are. And kabod means it's holy. This is serious.
Mm-hmm.
This is not talking about your church, little Morningstar, Double Rock Baptist, by the way, on the side. No, this is talking about your body. These things are Ruach written, so you have a responsibility to not defile it. And when you know that these things are unclean, that we're going to get into, are a defilement to your temple. He makes it clear. It says he will destroy you. What does that mean? If you continuously disobey him in these areas, these sicknesses will overtake you.
Which he said in Shemot 17, when he was telling you that he would not put the diseases that he put on the Egyptians.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, and so the reason why our bodies would be the temple is because the Torah would be in there, according to Hebrews 10:16. This is a covenant that I will make with them after those days. He's repeating it after Jeremiahu or Jeremiah says, Ahiah, I will put my Torah or laws into their heart and in their minds. I will write them and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more.
Hmm.
That's because the Torah is what purifies us. Not purifies, excuse me. It's the Torah that if we follow, it's the Torah of life. And if in the Ark of the Covenant they had, you know, that's where they kept that Torah. They put it in there. And that's the, excuse my church language, that's the Holy of Holies. And so when the Torah is dwelling in your heart and you're obeying the Torah, that also makes you Kodesh by following that. That also makes you righteous. And as Yaakov, James says, it's the law or the Torah of liberty. Whereas the church teaches, it's the Torah of bondage. And so, but it's the other way around, because they teach that, okay, you know, it's all right to eat pork because, the Messiah took it to the cross, and as always, and Paul said, and such and such.
You know, I think about also how Shaul said over in the fifth chapter of Corinth that he said, deliver such a one to Satan, you know, for the destruction of flesh. And that was in reference to, he said, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, when ye are gathered together, and my Ruach with the power of the Most High. So what he was in reference to, that that there were certain ones that people pray for that don't never come into the knowledge of the truth or never change or make the changes. And he said, deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Most High. So that their spirit will be saved in the day of the Most High. And see this, now let me go ahead and put it in context, because it was talking about, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named amongst the Gentiles. You had Hebrews fornicating worse than the Gentiles.
Wow. And you know how we do it.
Yeah. Some,
when we do it, we go all the way with it.
Go off. This is where they were having sex with their own father's wives. And they were puffed up. And so, but he said, and this was when I first read this, this was interesting to me. Turn them over to Satan and let Satan destroy the flesh. At least that way, in the day of the Most High, you know, the spirit to be saved. I've never been able to let go of that scripture when I heard that, because we pray and pray and pray for those that fight against what they know is right.
Uh-huh.
Just continue to rebel against, and I'm listening to you saying how the Most High has written the commandments in our hearts, and we know when we're doing wrong. Your conscience pricks you. You have no rest, no peace. There's a point where we can no longer continue to pray when you have, like, just shunned and turned away from truth over and over and over and over and over repeatedly. I don't know. It's popped, that just popped up in you know, that scripture.
Well, may we continue in sin that his favor towards us may abound? And the
right.
answer to that is no.
Exactly.
And but you know, Elder, the thing is, what has happened to us as a people? See, when we got shipped, we got put on ships, we wasn't eating all this pork. We were still kind of, you know, I mean, we weren't totally right, but we wasn't eating pork. We wasn't eating unclean food. We were kind of leaning on Islam a little bit, but we were eating what was right. But when we came over here, these Amalekites and these Edomites, what they did was they started forcing us to eat pork and catfish and sea roaches and stuff. And so here we are today. As I just mentioned, we take stuff and we take it to another level. So what we did was we started barbecuing that stuff, and next thing you know, we got rich. We got famous off making pork, these ribs and these links and these it was us who made the gumbo, throwing crabs and lobster all up in there.
Right, right, and, right.
But that wasn't so when we first got here. It was put upon us, once again, going back to the book of lies. And going back to Daniel, well, if I can just read Elder Daniel 7:25. Like I said, we're still on the subject here. Daniel 7:25, which leads us also into the Maccabees, but I'm going to first just see what the Ruach has and just read Daniel 7:25 and take it from there. Just turn into it right now.
Yeah,
what Daniel saw on this was so great, it made him sick. Daniel 7:25 says, and he shall speak, talking about this Antichrist, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and to think to change times and laws, that's the Torah and the commandments,
mm-hmm.
And they shall be given into the hand into a time and times and a dividing of times.
Hmm.
And at 28, let me just say, hitherto is the end of this matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. Also, 8:25 or somewhere up in there where it says it made him later, it just made him sick of what he saw in the vision of us just, of what was going to happen. And remember, he's in Babylon, so some of this stuff was happening now. That's why with Nimrod, he wanted the three Hebrew boys to eat what they were eating. And you know, in Babylon, you know, they got to have their stuff, you know, so they were forcing the people to eat unclean foods and to worship Molech and Baal and all those.
Right.
And there's only three that stood up, you know, and said, no, I'm not going to do that. You know, and there's the vibe because they, you know, they survive that fire that they got put in. So all this goes together. I mean, we're still in dietary laws, but all this, I'm just giving you a little history of it has always been Satan's plan to throw us off because we are and still are, even though, you know, other Gentiles may disagree, we're still the kings of the earth. We're still the priests of the earth. We're still the preachers, the teachers, to teach and to bring men to the Most High. That's our job. It's not their job to teach us. That's been the problem. That's why we're eating these things, because they've been teaching us that it's okay.
And this society's got us believing that everything that's a defilement, that's unclean, is a delicacy, and that you are of great esteem if you're feasting on these lobsters, crab, and scrimps, and you know, pork belly, and all these other fowls from the air that we're not supposed to.
Sea urchins.
Yeah, and they're pushing the envelope with these television shows, you know, that are trying to get you to go to other countries and other nations and dine with them and eat monkey brains and eat stuff you don't have no business eating, snails and creeping things that the Most High forbid us from eating. But at the same time, I just want to digress a little bit and go back into the scripture I was saying, turn them over for the destruction of the flesh. If you know you've got high blood pressure and cholesterol, why would you continue to go to McDonald's and eat that stuff every day? What inside you would make you be that rebellious to kill yourself like that and continue to eat fast food that's made out of nothing but junk and garbage that you know is going to kill you? Why would you continue in something that's going to be destructive? You have no control. If you have no control, you don't have the ruach. You don't have anything to subjugate your life to guide your life, which is the whole intent of the commandments, the statutes, and the laws, to bring some discipline in your life. So you're not a disciple until you have discipline. And discipline comes through keeping his commandments, the laws. And when you do so, you receive in full authority and power, the ruach, that gives you the strength to be able to do so. So,
well, the very word in Hebrew, unclean, tameh is the Hebrew word.
Right.
That basically means unclean, impure, defiled, polluted, vile, unfit for worship. Unfit for worship.
Yeah.
And so, how can you eat some bacon and then go to church? Or how can you eat something unclean and come before the Most High? He does that's against the Torah. If you touch it, matter of fact, if you even touch something unclean, you're not even allowed to come into camp. Stay out until a certain time, I think for men or something, until evening, or wash yourself, if I'm not mistaken. And then, but you just can't just come in, okay, yeah, I just touched a pig or a dead person or whatever, and now I'm ready to worship. No, you gotta wait till you are clean, because you're not fit. You're polluted. You're not fit for worship.
Right, and that Hebrew word is tahur, which is to be clean and pure. So yeah, the tamet is unclean, and that tahur is to be clean and pure. And we're gonna get into those. Some of you getting it. I know we talked about Most High willing that we would get into the. What's allowed, what's considered clean and what's considered unclean, and what was allowed to come into the temple. We'll get more into that. So these diet, but you're right, these foods make us unclean, tamet as well. And so I don't know if, you know, we talk mostly about the pork, because I think that is one of the main tools that they use is pork. And the thing about it, they gave it to the slaves. That's why all we know is chitlins and ribs and I want my baby back, baby back. That's all we know. And you're quick to hear an older person say, hey, that's all we had. And if it was good for my mama, it's good for me. You know. And that's what they gave us. And, you know, I'm sure there were instances where that may have been all they had. But let me remind you about the book of Maccabees and the Maccabean brothers who were willing to die before they would eat pork and were willing to fight to keep the statutes and the laws. this has to be a point where there's no compromise in you, where you refuse to do wrong or compromise, where you will say, like, what was this country? My mind goes back to this. Maybe you can remind me before I go into this scripture on pork. There was a country, a foreign country, that said they refused to take support. And I don't want to get off the subject, but he said, we will eat grass before we
This is recent, too. Talking to Obama.
Exactly. He told before we...
Right.
He said after he saw Obama support, you know...
Is it Zambia?
I'm not sure if it was Zambia, but I really admired that president. He said, before we take any support from the U.S. or Obama, we will eat grass. And it was because of him supporting the gay marriage and gay agenda. And but my whole point in bringing that up was the fact that you have to come to a point, Hebrew, Israelite, where you say, even if this is all I have, the Most High said it's unclean and it's tamet, and it's not pure, he doesn't want me to have it, I refuse to eat it.
Mm-hmm. When
are we going to get to that point? And I'm serious. I am very serious. Where you will go and eat you some leaves and grass or be a vegetarian before you pick up another pork rib. And if Most High willing, Monday we get back into the health show, we're going to show you how it's virtually impossible to cook all the parasites out of pork unless you burn it.
Wow.
It carries so many parasites. You have to understand what these things were designed to do. Lobsters and crab and shrimp were designed to eat the feces from the bottom of the ocean. That was their job. So, you know, that might have been all that our people had. But also our people lost the statutes, laws, and commandments and were forced into Christianity and began to think that those things were okay. They lost sight, unlike the Maccabees, the Maccabean brothers who didn't lose sight and said, we'll die first, fight and die.
And the funny thing, and that's for those of you who want to read that, that's 1 Maccabees 1:41-62, where it talks about what the Greek and had done, had they just flooded and polluted Israel. And
you got
and,
that? Do you have that with you in front of you?
No. You want me to get it right quick?
Well, I'm just going to say go ahead and read it, you know.
I can. It'll take me, give me like 5 seconds or something. I can grab the book.
Okay, while you grabbing that, I'll go ahead and read about this pig.
Okay.
I'll read.
Be right back.
Okay, I'll read Leviticus. Leviticus, the 11th chapter, starting at the 7th verse. And the swine, let me say it again, and the pig, though he divide the hoof and be cloven foot, yet he cheweth not the cud. He is unclean to you. Of their flesh shall ye not eat, and their carcass shall ye not even touch. They are unclean to you. You can't get no more plain than that. Scripture interprets scripture. I'm going to read it again. Leviticus 11:7. And the pig, though he divide the hoof. Now, there were certain animals with hoofs that were divided, we were allowed to eat. But those, let me back up and read it from the top.
You were in Lycra?
Lycra, the 11th chapter and the 3rd verse. I'm going to back up because I wanted them to understand about the splitting of the hoof. Whatsoever parteth the hoof and is cloven footed and cheweth the cud among the beasts, that shall ye eat. So that was the parted hoof. But see, let me read the rest. The 4th verse. Nevertheless, these shall ye not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the hoof, as the camel, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean to you. And the coney, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean to you. And the hare, the rabbit, because, yeah, y'all eating rabbit stew, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And the pig, though he divide the hoof. Now his hoof is divided, so you'd be deceived and be cloven footed, yet he doesn't chew the cud. One stomach goes straight through. He is unclean to you. Of their flesh shall ye not eat. No more baby back, baby back. And then it says, and their carcass shall ye not even touch. Don't even touch the pig, for they are unclean to you. You going to sit around here and tell me that the Most High changed his mind? A few years later, when 1,000 years is as one day is 1,000 years, he just woke up and changed his mind and said, okay, you can eat it now?
Well, see, when we were forced to eat it and all this other junk, catfish and all, he still kept us. He kept us. So when our grandfathers and grandmothers say, yeah, you know, I mean, we didn't have nothing else to eat, and so, you know, but yet he kept them even during that time. But once you came out of that, then, I mean, when I say came out, I'm talking about like, well, you got your college degrees and you got your big houses and cars and, you know, you can afford other things. Then, you know, you can't keep using that excuse. But now, you know, the book of lies, you're in bondage now to it.
And because of his grace and mercy, you know, because I had my catfish days. I didn't have ribs. But now that I know what the Torah says, and now that my research has shown me how unclean these animals are and the parasites that are in their bodies, and that what they eat are being infused into our bodies, that knowledge has totally deterred me and pushed me away from having eaten that. And because of the grace and mercy, me having broken those laws, I'm not penalized by death. But at the same time, though, it is a sin to my body because it's hurtful to my body. Why? Because it's unclean, which is what shortens our lifespan, our energy, and our health, because these are still, no matter how you put it, these are still unclean animals to the earth.
Mm-hmm. No way around that.
Exactly.
I have the Book of Maccabees, where, if you don't mind, I can read that, because it's really dealing with the subject that we're on right now.
Okay.
And then we can jump right back to the Torah. First Maccabees 1. I'm going to start at 34. Where the Greeks occupied Jerusalem. And this is what it says. I'm going to read from 34 go on. So just to show you what happened here. It says in verse 134, beginning at 134, they stationed there in their occupants of Jerusalem, the Greeks, they stationed there sinful people. Men who were like notorious renegades, and that's what they did in America. They just send sinful people, you know, and start defiling, you know, the Hebrew Indians here. But they stationed themselves against their sinful people, men who were renegades, then strengthened their position. They stored up arms and food, and collecting the spoils of Jerusalem, they stored them there and became a great menace, for the citadel became an ambush against the sanctuary, an evil adversary of Israel at all times. On every side of the sanctuary they shed innocent blood. They even defiled the sanctuary. Because of them, the residents of Jerusalem fled. She became a dwelling place for strangers. She became strange to her offspring. And her children forsook her. Her sanctuary became desolate like a desert. Her feasts were turned into mourning, her Sabbaths into a reproach, her honor into contempt. And dishonor, her dishonor now grew as great as her glory. Her exaltation was turned into mourning. Let me continue on. But as you see, there's a resemblance here. Then the king wrote to his whole kingdom that all should be one people and that all should give up their particular customs. All the Gentiles accepted this command of the king. The reason why, because they were already doing it. So there's no problem for them to worship Satan and to do all this occultist stuff. They were already doing it, so it's not a problem. Many, even from Israel, gladly adopted this religion. They sacrificed to idols and profaned the Sabbath, and the king sent letters to messengers to Jerusalem and to the towns of Judah. He directed them to follow customs strange to the land, to forbid burnt offerings. This is what the king said. We don't want you doing burnt offerings, sacrifices, drink offerings in the sanctuary, to profane the Sabbaths and festivals, to defile the sanctuary and the priests, to build altars and sacred precincts and shrines for idols, to sacrifice, here we go, to sacrifice swine, pigs, and other unclean animals, and to leave their sons uncircumcised. See how they're just doing everything against the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
They were to make themselves abominable by everything unclean and profane, so that they would, watch this, so that they would forget the Torah and change all the ordinances. He added, and whoever does not obey this command shall die. Let me see. I'll stop there, but let me just add this one little thing, because this has a little message in it. The very next chapter, 1 Maccabees 2 and 4, the person that the book is named after, it says, now Simon, a person named Simon called, no, okay, he's naming another person, but he's naming these men who said, no, we're not going to do this. Now, here's the book. Here's the little message in the message. Judah was called Maccabeus. So the word Maccabeus or Maccabees just means the hammer. So it's Judah or Judah that put the hammer down. And it's going to take us to put the hammer down and say, no, man, we're not going to do this no more. So just like Judah, who is the hammer, the Maccabee, we're going to have to be the Maccabee in this situation and put the hammer down and say, no, we're not going to continue to do these great sins and abominations.
Amazing.
I just wanted to throw his name in there just because I thought that, like, oh, okay. You know, because funny that it's not by accident that his name is Judah or Judah, and he was the one that the book is named after, that
mm-hmm.
was the leader of these Maccabees, of this group that, like, no, we're not gonna do it. Although they were in Jerusalem, so they're all, you know.
I just want to say real quick, I was trying to access to the listeners, the Mishpacha out there, I was trying to access the chat room, Blog Talk Radio. We're having some technical difficulties, or either they're giving us difficulties this morning that I'm unable to open the chat or see your calls come through in the studio. So I apologize. We did want to take questions or phone calls at the end of this lesson, but sent them alerts to let them know that we need this repaired, but it's not coming up. So I apologize that the chat is closed and the phone calls aren't able to be viewed, but hang in there with us. We will continue with the lesson. Sorry, my brother Elder, go ahead. You can finish.
Oh, no, I'm finished with the Maccabees. I just wanted to, between Daniel 7:25 and Maccabees, also that there was the story, I forgot, continued on in 2 Maccabees. I won't bother to read it unless you want me to.
No.
Huh?
Go ahead.
Okay. Second Maccabees 6. Let me just, I closed the book. Let me just turn back to it. Okay, it says here, not long after this, the king sent an Athenian senator to compel the to compare Yehuda to forsake the Torah of their ancestors and no longer live by the Torah of the Most High. Also to pollute, continue to pollute the temple of Jerusalem and call it the temple of Olympian, watch this, Olympian Zeus.
Hmm.
And to call the one in Gerishim, that's where the, Samaritans, that's where they dwelt at.
Uh-huh.
The temple of Zeus, the friend of strangers, as did the people who lived in that place. So what they did was, not only did they put it in Jerusalem, they put it in Gerishim, right in the Samaritan area, so everybody can get, you know, polluted with this stuff. Harsh and utterly grievous was the onslaught of evil, for the temple was filled with debauchery and reveling by the Gentiles who dallied with prostitutes and had intercourse with women within the sacred precincts, and besides brought in things for sacrifice that were unfit. The altar was covered with abominable offerings that were forbidden by the Torah. People could neither keep the Sabbath nor observe the festivals of their ancestors, nor such as confessed themselves to be Yahudims. On the monthly celebration of the king's birthday, the Yahudim were taken under bitter constraint to partake of the sacrifices, and when the festival of Dionysus was celebrated, they were compared to wear wreaths of ivory. All this stuff has a meaning, but it'd be another subject unless you want to talk about it.
Well,
and to walk in the,
you know what, as a fact, I don't want to cut you off. I'm trying not to get away from our dietary laws, but you're touching on so many things as you talk about the temple, the Olympian, Mount Olympus, and Zeus, and all this stuff going on inside the temple, sex, which is so indicative of your church today. And then when you talk about Dionysus, which has a lot to do with Dianetics and stuff that you hear today, is you're touching on so much, which is why they wanted the Book of Maccabees out of the Word.
Mm-hmm.
Because it exposes so much truth, even this whole thing about the temple Zeus. And but I don't want to deter us from the dietary laws.
You know, matter of fact, that's about enough. I the rest of it was continued abuse, so it had nothing to do with the dietaries after that.
Right. Just abusive, and they're all out efforts to get us to walk away from the laws and to become tamet, unclean, impure.
Do you know that that right down the street of the old, you know, old temple during the time of our Messiah was a Greek theater? Now, right down there, it was built during that time that they did their, because for actors, they didn't have no women, so it was all men. So even the men played the women, and so even the sex scenes were just two homosexuals. All this was right down the street. When I say down the street, I'm talking about very close to the temple. And so all this is to keep us unclean. And I'm still on the dietary laws to keep us unclean. They put other abominable stuff around to keep us like pigs, just wallowing in it. And so, if it was just the dietary laws, then we can probably whip that behind and keep on going. But it's that plus other stuff that keeps us in bondage. And this is where we got to put the hammer down, the Maccabet down, as the Hebrew word.
Yes, most definitely. That is the intent, as you read earlier, to get us to violate these commandments and laws, because they know when we as Israel, Yasharel, Israelites, come together in a cohesiveness, it's like fingers forming a fist and becoming a hammer. And we come together when we come together and live under one culture, under one set of rules and one standard, which is the commandments and the laws. They fear the power of the Most High, Ahayah, that shows up and destroys all of their gods and fallen angels and deities and puts us back into prominence. So the intent and goal, even today, is to keep us defiled by taking on the ways of the Gentiles. And we speak of that today. One of the main ways is through the food and the dietary laws. And we're going to go back to that focus. So I believe, Elder, you got some scriptures you want to get into as it pertains to the dietary laws.
We still right, have yeah, to- I wanted to, because we're, I wanted to go to Debarim, which is Deuteronomy 14:2, which is the Most High is getting ready to teach the children of Israel the Torah of these dietary laws. And 14:2 says, "For thou art a Kodesh people unto Ahiah, thy Most High, and Ahiah has chosen thee to be a particular people unto himself." Now this is, you know, he's telling them this before he get in, you know, start teaching them this above all the nations that are upon the earth. And so he said that just before, right after that, he says, "Thou shalt not eat any abominable thing." So he started getting into the dietary laws, but he reminded them of their calling, you know, that we are a Kodesh people, we're set apart, we're consecrated unto Ahiah, the Most High, and he has chosen us to be a particular people. Why particular? Because while everybody else is living the opposite way, doing these abominable things and eating what they want and just have no, if I could say, have no law, they just doing whatever they want to do, there is a nation, there is a place, and there is a congregation, and there is a family, a mishpachah, that they can turn to and say, "Hey, right over here is the right way of living." So that's why they were called in the New Testament the Way. And so he lets us know of our calling here. And so that's why to the Hebrews first and then to the Gentiles, this is the way that we shall live. And so right after that, he starts telling us, teaching us, "Thou shalt not eat anything." This is on Deuteronomy 14:2, abominable, any abominable thing. And then he started naming, as you started doing, the beast and everything that we shall not, that we are not to eat. And over in Wa'ikra, I got to learn how to say that right. He even mentions about the rat and the in the mouse and the weasel and all that kind of stuff, because there's a Jewish guy, Andrew Zimmerman. Funny thing that he's a so-called Jewish dude, that he just eats anything, and his show is popular. I forgot the name of it.
I'm not gonna even call the name of it.
Yeah, but okay. But it's funny that in these last days, his show is just so popular because he will eat anything. When I say anything, man, I saw this guy eat skunks, whatever. You put it before him, he'll eat it. And he just so happened, you know, he just so happened to be a Edomite.
Hmm.
You know, so do you want me to keep on going with the... Because it's basically saying the same thing in Wa'ikra. It's just repeating, like, what foods you can eat, what foods you can't eat.
Well,
and then,
the scriptures, you got the scriptures on that with scales and fins, and I believe on the fowls. Do you have those available? Okay,
come over back. In Deuteronomy?
Yes.
Yeah.
We want to cover that too. I don't want everybody to think this is always about pork and ribs, and then they want to call us Muslims. We are not Muslims. They worship a god, false god, Allah.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to take it from, let me see. Okay, verse 4, these are the beasts which ye shall eat, the ox, the sheep, the goat,
oxtail.
The hart, which is, huh?
I'm sorry, I was just thinking about oxtails. I was letting the folks know you can still eat your oxtail. You can still have your oxtail stew.
Yeah, they even got out now duck bacon, you know, so you can get that, and that's shoot. From what I hear, that's better than all of them.
Mm.
The deer, the gazelle, the roebuck, the wild goat, the antelope, the mountain sheep, every beast that has a split hoof divided in two, as you mentioned, chewing the cud among the beasts, you do eat. But of those chewing a cud, those having a split hoof, as you mentioned, completely divided, you do not eat, such as these. You mentioned the camel, the rabbit, the hare and the rabbit, for they chew the cud, they do not have a split hoof, they are unclean to you. The pig is unclean for you because it has a split hoof, but does not chew the cud. You do not eat, as you just said, nor do you even touch this thing. As verse 8, clean and unclean fish. These ye shall eat of all that are in the water, all that have fins and scales shall ye eat. In other words, well, let me read verse 10. And whatsoever have not fins and scales, ye may not eat. It is unclean to you. So we're not supposed to be eating shark,
right?
Octopus. Yeah.
Octopus, right, squid, catfish.
Catfish.
Eel.
Yeah, eel. Most stuff in there got fins, so, man, I mean, I don't see the problem, to be honest. It's like, man, you got your choice, man. Why you want those little, you know, I mean, it's just time to just do what he say do. Okay, so let me go to 11, unless you want to continue to elaborate on the fish.
No, I think it's self-explanatory. I just think that we just need to point out, one of the reasons, I'll say again, a catfish is a bottom dweller. It has a mouth at the bottom of its head that sucks up the feces and dirt and parasites of the ocean. This is why our ecosystem is all messed up, because everybody's eating everything they're not supposed to eat, including these crabs, lobster, and shrimp, because you think it's a delicacy, because you've been told by television that you got to have lobster and champagne, and you live in the high life. No, you're living the defiled life, the polluted life, the way of the Gentiles. So I think a lot of this stuff is self-explanatory, and I'll say this once again before you go forward. We're using this as a segue to get back to the health show, because we realize it's an imperative ministry of a Levite to teach you what to put in your body to combat these demonic sicknesses. And you're not helping matters by eating the things that are unclean. I think we should probably, before at the end of the show at some point, talk about Caiaphas' dream, because a lot of people still use Caiaphas being Peter. His children that eat all things and that everything was good and just bless it and eat it. I think we're going to need to cover that before we close out, but I'll let you continue.
Oh, yeah, because that definitely was taken out of context.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, I'll let you finish with those that you have, or was that the end of the ones that you were describing?
Oh, no. I got it goes all the way to verse 21. Waikra mentions the rodents, whereas this one don't. So if you want me to, after this, hit on those rodents, then I can.
Yeah, because in that movie, The Book of Eli, he sure ate a rat. So a lot of people.
Man, I never did see that whole movie, so I didn't even see that part.
Yeah. Let's talk about eating these roads, because some people say if I get hungry enough, I'll eat anything. See, and that's just it.
Okay, you want to hit on that right now while we're on it?
Go ahead.
Okay. Wait. Let me just turn to it. That's in Waikra 11. Okay, 20 to 23. Let me go there. Okay, it says all fowls that creep, going upon all four, shall be an abomination unto you. Yet these ye may eat of everything creeping that goeth upon all fours, which have legs upon their feet to leap withal upon the earth. Don't worry, the rats is coming. Even those of them ye may eat, the locust and his kind, the bald locust after his kind, the beetle after his kind, the grasshopper after his kind. But all other flying, creeping things which have 4 feet shall be an abomination to you. Now let me go to 29 to 31. 29 to 31 says, still talking about the unclean, creeping things. These also shall be unclean unto you among the creeping things that creep upon the earth. The weasel, the mouse, the tortoise after his kind, the ferret, the chameleon, the lizard, the snail, and the mole. These are unclean to you among the all that creep. Whatsoever dost thou touch them when they dead shall be unclean unto eating. In other words, that's what I mentioned before. That if you touch those things, that you'll be unclean. You can't go into the temple to worship. I was going back over just in case those who don't know what some of these animals are. Back over it. Let's see here. Okay, no, I think I got another one that says mole, mouse, pretty much the same thing, tortoise, gecko, crocodile, sand reptile, sand lizard, chameleon. And if it says mouse, then you know that's close enough to a rat. You know, so one of those does say rat. I don't know if it's in Deborah. I read it somewhere.
Well, you know, I think for the most part we ain't got to worry about our people eating on rats because they're running from rats all through the hood. So I don't think we have to worry about that. You know, and they got some rats in New York big enough to chase you down the street. But for the most part, I want for the Mishpachah to understand that us coming back to the statutes, laws, and commandments, we have to abide by these laws and be as consistent and persistent as the Maccabeans and be willing to not compromise in this hour. I think with the devastation that's coming upon us, we're looking at martial law over in New Jersey and New York due to the storm. I know those people don't have food, money, or gasoline, and their backs are against the wall, and they're at a point right now where they have to trust the Most High to provide mm-hmm. them as they are in some desperate times. And we want to keep our brothers and sisters that are in that area in our petitions, in our prayers, keep them before the Most High that they'll stand. We are in that hour. And also on another front, just that you might be, as Shaul said, mindful that your body is the temple. And as you constantly put these unclean foods in, you're defiling your temple. And you're setting yourself up for possible destruction. This is why you're sick unto death. And the doctor's medicine is not helping you. It is exploiting the sickness and speeding and furthering your death, expediting the process. Radiation and chemotherapy kills you, drags it out and makes money off of you. So these medicines and the pharmakia, which is witchcraft and sorcery, all these things further compound the problems that you put in your body from eating unclean foods. So these are not just our words. This is scientific, documented evidence and facts that we have, and it starts right here with the dietary laws. My brother, Elder, you got some more stuff you want to read, or are you ready to move to the thing about Peter?
I'm ready to move to the thing about Peter, but before we go to Peter, because this is another thing that this chapter and verse that I'm about to give is another thing that the church uses to say that it's okay for us to eat everything, and they take this once again out of context. It's
okay.
Found in Bereshit, Genesis chapter 9. In verse 3. Let's go to 3 and 4, actually.
Bereshit 9, 3 and 4. Want me to read that for you?
Yeah.
Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat.
Now, we both have already mentioned before that Noah already knew the Torah. So he already knew the things that was approved to eat. So when it says all things, he's not talking about, okay, just help yourself and kill whatever you want and eat it. He already knew what foods to eat. And the herbs here, when he says, even as the green herb have I given you all things, that's also referring to the book, that he already knew what herbs to eat and what herbs not to eat. So he's still going by the Torah. He's not saying, oh, okay, well, man, let me just kill this pig and have some pork ribs. He already knew what to eat. And you got to remember, Noah has had a righteous heart. And so this is another thing, Elder, that the church teaches and take out of context that, okay, so, you know, here where he said that we can eat anything we want.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, the way you're, in other words, what you're saying is, it's clear that he already knew what was clean and unclean because he took the clean and unclean onto the ship. So he knew already what he could eat and which was allowed to be meat. So though the every living thing that moved, he was already clear which ones he could eat. And I think the foolishness is to think that every green herb he's given you could eat. So do you think Noah would have been foolish and wouldn't eat the poison oak, the poison ivy, and the other toxic plants just because it was a green herb? No, because he knew which plants were good for him. That
right.
That's already clear. But I don't want people to think that we're just reading that into the context. You have to understand, like as I said at the beginning of the show, the Most High pointed out to him what was clean, what was unclean, which is why those animals were two by two, the unclean ones, and the clean animals were by seven. And that's why we never hear that. They always tell us that the animals went into
I didn't know that. Learned something today.
They always tell us that the animals went in two by two. Those were the unclean animals that we weren't supposed to eat, a gorilla and all that kind of stuff.
Huh.
So Noah wasn't going all of a sudden on the other side of the flood, go kill him a gorilla and eat a gorilla.
Right, or a lion or whatever.
Exactly.
And you know the thing about it, he didn't have no desire to do that anyway. That wasn't even in his spirit.
Exactly.
To look at a lion and like, ooh, I want to eat that dude.
Right. Most definitely. So this is
verse 4 says, but the flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, ye shall not eat. For surely your blood, because the life is in the blood, as we know. And so, so when you eat that cow bloody and rare, you're eating the life of that cow. You become one with whatever you eat that has blood in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I even seen, this is how crazy this stuff is at now, at the society we live in. They're now even serving blood as a drink. You know, they do it in bars and whatever. It's like, yeah, let me just have some pig's blood, and they'll just serve it.
Right.
And I don't know if it's here in America, but I've definitely seen it in other countries.
Yeah, this thing in London, England about blood pudding. I've never understood that for the life of me. Blood pudding?
Wow.
These people purposely desecrate the ways of the Most High and do everything they can to defile themselves and go the complete opposite direction that the Most High has given for the Hebrews, the Israelites, to go into on purpose, which is why they despise us as a people. So let's continue to go further, because I know we're getting more into this time, and let's talk about how there's a misunderstanding and people don't understand how to read these scriptures. So we got to cover, and I know this one probably deserves more time, but I think we can get into it a little bit, because the church also uses this one in Acts, the 10th chapter. Were you finished with that particular chapter?
Oh, yeah, I'm finished.
And our Hebrew word for the book of Acts is?
Maase.
So, Maase, the 10th chapter, as you know, is the book of Acts. Talks about Peter in the 9th verse, who went on the housetop the 6th hour. And I'll start from 10 and 10. And he became very hungry. Let me point out.
Okay, 10 and what? I'm sorry.
Acts 10 and 10.
Okay.
It talks about how Peter went up to the roof housetop to pray in the 6th hour and was hungry. And y'all know when y'all hungry, y'all begin to see things, right? let me stop, because somebody say I'm more conjecture, more eisegesis, but let me be realistic. Let me read this. And he became very hungry, the 10th verse, and would have eaten, but while they made ready the food, he fell into a trance. Not sleep, a trance. And he saw heaven open, Shemaim opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, but I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Notice the difference between the two. He said, I have never eaten anything that is common. That's one.
Mm-hmm.
Or unclean. That's two. Okay?
Mm.
15. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what Ahia hath cleansed, that call not thou common. That's key. The things that Ahia has already determined to be clean. Most people don't see that. They're just saying, see, what people tend to think, elders, that suddenly here in the book of Acts, that suddenly he's cleaned all the uncleaned animals and now they're good for us. You see that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they think suddenly he just wipes it away, but he never destroys creation the way and what he created it for. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm with you.
He never destroys its intent or its purpose. Number 16.
because this is going to speak for itself. See, what you hear in the Constantine Christian Church is how people bring the confusion in on this. 16. This was done three times. He heard this voice, Haifa heard this voice, and the vessel was received up again unto Shemaim. 17. Now, while Peter doubted himself, because I'm sure he woke up and said, now, what does this mean? Wait a minute, scratching his head. Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean. Behold, and I've been in that, let me pause for a second. I've been there like, wow, you know, wait for the understanding.
Right, because it doesn't make sense according, I mean, that's against Torah, according to him, what he just saw.
Right. So, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, and stood before the gate, 18, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, Caiapha, was lodged there. Now, while Caiaphas thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Ruach, behold, three men looking for you. Three men seek thee. 20. Arise, therefore, and get thee down and go with them. I love how the Ruach speaks to us just like that.
Right, right.
Pay attention to that. That plain and clear. This is why we got to stay connected. Because remember, Peter's scratching his head because he's like, I'm a man of the Torah. This is not right. Yeah. There's something wrong here.
Mm.
So, the Ruach had to show up strong and got him. Get thee down and go with them. And just don't doubt. In other words, Ruach is saying, trust.
Mm.
Trust.
Ooh.
I've sent them, so just obey. This is why you got to listen to the Ruach. Then Peter, Caiaphas, went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? 22. And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, a Gentile too, and one that feareth God, one that feareth Ahayah, pardon me, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from the Most High by a kobold angel to send for thee into this house. Now that's key. An angel spoke to them and said, go find Caiaphas here in this house. So you got the Most High dealing on both fronts to bring these men together. And look at the, let me move forward. I just want you to see how much more he had to deal with Caiaphas in a vision and then speak to him loud and clear and say, trust me on this.
Mm-hmm.
3. Then
just
called
good stuff here.
Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Caiaphas went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after, they entered into Caesarea. These are days going by. And Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Caiaphas was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Caiaphas took him up, saying, stand up. I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he's like, don't worship me. Get up. 27. And he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation, a Hebrew, okay? But the Most High hath showed me that I should not call. Here's the key right here. It took days, but what's not pointed out is that over the time of space, he got clarity and understood the vision. He said in 28, the Most High hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. So if you go back, the vision was of the different foods, and he thought it was pertaining to foods that he eat, and what he saw was the different foods that were being consumed by the different nations. And he put a right here that the Most High has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. So the precept that goes back to common or unclean, you find when he said, whatever the Most High has cleansed, Kodesh, sanctified, don't call common. And
that's referring, go ahead.
At 14, so we go back to 14, it says, I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. So he, Peter, made the mistake to consume when the Most High was showing him what was getting ready to come his way and for him to accept it and understand what the Most High has of the ability to cleanse. What did you say, Elder?
Well, I mean, the other thing, too, is that the Yahudins, the Beta Yisrael, they considered the Gentiles to be unclean, and the other word for them would be dogs. And so they looked at the Gentiles as well as unclean. Now, Cornelius being a centurion, a Roman centurion, as you know, they were very disliked amongst the Yahudims, you know, so they didn't like these people, I mean, because they were being oppressed by them. And so, but this man, Cornelius, was a follower of the Torah, and he was a just man. And so this is what made this man clean, because of the fact that, because he was a follower of the Torah, he became in the family of the household of faith. And so, but his understanding wasn't quite right then. That's why when you see when Kepha arrived at his house, he did what Gentiles do. And especially Kepha being a black man, because the worship, if you really want to know the history of Greek worship, it's really the worship of the black man.
Mm-hmm.
It's really Nimrod and Egypt and all this kind of stuff. Now, they may have made these statues white, but the characters are really black. And so what Cornelius did, thinking this man is a almost like a god, he fell down to worship. And Kepha had to remind him, like, no, I'm a man just like you are. And so Cornelius didn't quite have the understanding, but that's why Kepha or Kepha, that's why he was there, to give him the understanding of the word.
And so I think it's important that people read that entire chapter for the sake of time, because I know it's 9:30. We can't go into it, but see, the Most High had to go this far through the Ruach to reveal to him that, because if you read the rest of the chapter, you realize as Kepha began to speak to them, the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, fell upon them. And they received the power of the Holy Spirit as he began to speak to them. He did not believe that this was for other nations, because the ministry to the Gentiles, the Knesset to the Gentiles, was given to Shaul, Paul. Peter was having a hard time thinking that this was for the Gentiles. And this is why the vision had to come in that capacity, to show him that the Most High had the ability to cleanse these people and invite them into the fold, and that this was for everyone. To the Hebrew first, the Israelite, the Jew first, because Peter, Kepha, was a staunch believer in the commandments and law, so he knew this couldn't pertain to food, and it did not pertain to food. It was a way of preparing him for what the Most High was getting ready to do and how he was leading these people of other nations that were considered unclean and common. He was leading those people to him to receive the baptism of this Spirit. And that goes on. And now this deserves more time as a lesson, more precepts. I understand. And we're kind of rushing through it. I don't know, Elder, maybe we can get into it at another time. But this is something that's so commonly used in church, saying, well, the Most High shook Peter all these foods and told him to rise, slay, and eat because I've cleansed it. You know, it's no longer unclean. That, to me, that says that what we serve a double-minded We serve a double-minded God? Are you serious? That can change at any time? So that means tomorrow he might change, and everything we've been believing and standing on is suddenly going to change, and we got to change? He is not unstable. What he has said is set in stone. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He doesn't create something for a purpose and then suddenly say it's not utilized for that purpose and now you can consume it. That is a lie being preached to you by those of the deceived, false Constantine Christianity.
Yeah, we got to keep in mind, too, that the Great Commission that's found in Mark 16, 15, and 16, that was our job. Well, when it says go in ye into all the world and preach the Besorah, the good news to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That was our calling in the New Testament. That's nothing new. We were already called to do that. But instead, we turned to the Gentiles and went astray. So what the commission to the Hebrews is not a – that wasn't new in the New Testament. That was – he was just reminding them of what their ministry is and what our ministry is. And so this is – but they got into just saving themselves, with saving us. You know, I mean, but we are to live a life, a Kodesh life that is set apart from all nations so that we may be a light to the nations to bring the nations in so that everybody can be saved. That's the first, I mean, that's the old commission. And so we're bringing it back as the people of Yah is coming back.
To the statutes, commandments, and laws.
Right.
So with that being said, I just want to, I implore you to not be deceived by the language of those that try to get you to follow the ways of the Gentiles and to come back, as the elder said, to the dietary laws that our Father has given us to cause us to be marked, to be Kodesh, to have that stamped on our foreheads that we are a set apart people and no longer defile ourselves with the things that cause us to be sick mm-hmm. unto diseases from demons to afflict you in this hour and keep you from being strong and ready for the soon return of our brother Yeshua HaMashiach. So be strong, be diligent in maintaining these dietary laws. Don't compromise. Let's come back to the mindset that the Maccabees had where they were like, I refuse to compromise and eat that is unclean. The Most High doesn't change. The Most High does not change. The Most High does not change. I cannot emphasize that enough.
Mm-hmm.
So we must stand with that. Anything else you want to say, Elder, in closing?
Just, you know, to those of you who are have made up in your mind that you're going to follow the commandments and you're just coming out of or still in eating unclean foods, I pray every day just, you know, to teach me to eat the proper way and to not go back into eating unclean food. So I pray that to help me to eat properly. And so I just encourage you all to that are struggling in this area, just ask the Most High to teach you and lead you and guide you into his Torah way. And you know, then obey it. I mean, if he gives you strength to do it, then and you know you have strength not to eat pork, just don't do it. Just obey him, and without doubting, as the elder said a few minutes ago, just follow his lead, and we'll all be all right. And I believe that he would that once again that he'll lead us back into and give us in our spirit. The book of herbs or whatever. He'll just teach us how to eat right. Without us even, you know, reading, he'll just lead us into eating right because he is our shepherd. And so I encourage you all to do that because, you know, the enemy, he's going to attack. He's going to tempt you, you know. So just, you know, be mindful of that and stay prayerful.
Yeah.
And, also, Elder, as you mentioned before we close, still praying for all of you guys who are on the Mr. Cobb family and all who are on the East Coast. You know, you're in our prayers.
Definitely in our prayers. Let's be mindful. Let's be mindful of these times that we're living in. We are in the tribulatory times as we prepare for the Messiah to come back. And if you did not hear what the elders in reference to is that in the book of Jubilees, chapter 10 through 14, Noah was given a heavenly book of herbs that were used to ward off Satan's attacks. And throughout time, Noah handed that book down, and it was handed down from Noah to Abraham and then over to the Levites, and which made the Levites powerful. Not only were they able to minister in spirit, but minister to the body to ward off sickness. So you'll want to do your study on that and know that he's bringing that back to us, which is why you got so many Hebrews starting to get back into herbs and understand that they've been killing us with these drugs and pharmakia. No weapon formed against us can prosper. And now the rock is speaking to us just like he spoke to Caiaphas. Did you hear how he spoke to Caiaphas in the 10th chapter? Loud, clear. Loud and clear. Get up. Don't doubt yourself. Trust me. Go downstairs. I'm doing something. And he's doing it on two and three fronts. So I believe that he's speaking to all of us so that he can prepare us as the diaspora prepares to come back together. For this is the gathering of his people, the scattered, as we prepare to go back into the wilderness and be with the Most High. All praises to the Most High. So this is Elder B along with Elder Ardre. And you've been listening to the Hebrew Restoration Assembly here on the Social Change Action Network. Once again, I apologize for the technical difficulties that we've had in the chat room, unable to be open. But we want to thank you, Tawada, for your support. And I'm going to say, as we always say here, that the only sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. For truth is a journey, not a destination. Shabbat shalom, Mishpacha. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
The blackness. Keep on.
Success is in your hand. Follow my plan. I've called you for this hour and placed in you my power. It's in your hand. Follow my plan. I will do exceedingly above all you ask of me. It's in your hand. Follow my plan. Don't wait until the last. Don't wait until the right. It's in your hand. Follow my plan. I've called you by my name, and you will never be the same. It's in your hand.
When my mind is far from me. writing about my blessings, that I'm safe when I'm resting, furniture in my nesting, not by force I'm suggesting, you count your blessings. I've got love and assurance, I've got new health insurance, I've got strength and endurance, so I count my blessings. And give thanks to the Master, that through all the disaster, we're still here together after. Better count your blessings.
Count your blessings. Yo, this year, can't wait till it gets here. 7/21/09, my first son will shine. And it's amazing, I'm about to be raising another made man. And like his dad, they'll praise him, and some will hate him, just cause we're building a nation, like Bob did with Damien. The world will embrace him, girls will chase him, foresee they will not break him. And when I'm not around, you look for God and thank
I've
him.
I've got somewhere to dress for, and I've got no need to stress for, and so I'll always put my best forth and count my blessings. And there'll be no need for tissues, cause there'll be no further issues. If you've got someone who missed you, man, count your blessings. And I've got love and assurance, and I've got new health insurance, and I've got strength and endurance, so I count my blessings. And give thanks to the Master, that through all the disaster, we're still here together after. Better count your blessings.
You were sitting in the top position, picture perfect, nothing less cause you deserve it. Without the Hermes, you never hurting. You knew that you was destined for greatness for certain. To see the overzealous, they be thirsting, caught up in emotion. You keeping your composure like Gershwin, songs by Earthwind, keep you in his own writing verses. So when your pockets light, know that you have a heavy purpose.
We've got preschool and daycare, we've got pension and welfare, and though not all we play the game fair, still I got my blessings. I've got joy in abundance, I've got life full of substance, I've got meetings and functions, so I count my blessings. I've got something to live for, I've got surplus to give more, and we're all welcome to his door, so I count my blessings. And give thanks to the Master, that through all the disaster, we're still here together after, so I count my blessings.
I think you're looking too hard for it, with a double law under your garage door. Appreciate the things you work hard for, and count your blessings, count your blessings. So don't be mad if you ain't fly, y'all. You got the means to reach the level I'm on. You should know that there's only one notch, y'all. But count your blessings, count your blessings.
And I've got tutors to fight in, and I've got news for rejoicing. Now a new sun is rising, I count my blessings. That I'm safe when I'm resting, furniture in my nesting, not by force I'm suggesting, you count your blessings. I've got love and assurance, I've got new health insurance, I've got strength and endurance, so I count my blessings. And give thanks to the Master, that through all the disaster, we're still here together after. Better count your blessings.